Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie. Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. So here we go again with this old chestnut. Is it right that so many kids get exemptions from studying Irish but do end up studying other languages? Or, for that matter, is it right that we continue to make studying Irish at Leaving Cert something that's compulsory? It's come up for debate again because there's figures out from the Department of Education on how many are ducking it on the grounds of disability. That would have been 3,800 in 2016. But 60% of that 3,800 went on to study German or Spanish or French. Claire, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Philip. How are you?
What's your point of view on this? You're a teacher in the Institute of Education.
I am indeed. I mean, I can understand in relation to languages that the student is legitimately having problems, say, if they're dyslexic. There's no such thing as being a dyslexic student in the Irish language. If you are dyslexic, you will have problems in Irish, French, German and Spanish. So, I mean, if they're not looking for exemptions in the other languages, I cannot see why they would seek to get an exemption or to seek an exemption in Irish.
I'll give you one reason why, perhaps, and that would be that the kids who spend most of their national school education catching up with their English literacy and making sure that they were able to read and write in English ended up kind of completely letting their Irish slip. And when they get to secondary school level, they're so far behind that they don't feel that they want to play catch up there. But they would be willing to take on a new language and start from scratch.
Well, the only thing about it is, I mean, if they're taking up a new language, they're starting from scratch. But even if they had let their Irish slip in the primaries, they will still have more in the Irish language they will have than if they're taking a brand new language, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but so they might take a brand new language. I mean, if you take German in first year in secondary school, do you not start it from scratch? Whereas if you start Irish in first year in secondary school, you're pretty advanced level of Irish.
Well, yes, I know that. But then most schools would have different grades. In other words, they would be able to go into the ordinary level Irish or they go into the higher level Irish. But they're still coming with a certain amount of knowledge. That's the thing.
And when parents approach you, Claire, what grounds are they seeking exemptions on?
Yeah, sometimes actually the exemptions are sort more on the parents as opposed to the students. The parents are sort of hankering back onto their old school days where they would remember Irish as a very onerous subject. It was voluminous. I know myself when I did the Leaving Cert, it was huge. And these misconceptions are still with parents. They have ceased, they don't realise the changes that have come on the Irish language as a Leaving Cert subject over the years. The course has got incredibly short. It's become very, very modern, very accessible. But parents wouldn't see this. Obviously, they're not in the classrooms. So it's more the parents seeking it as opposed to the students.
Really?
In
so it's mum and dad's Gaelophobia. But at the same time, it's still not an easy honour.
I'll tell you, I'm open to contradiction on this, but the old scheme of marking the Leaving Cert where they had ABC, now it's H1, H2 or 3, I think last year it came in second after Russian in the number of students who would have got the high grades. So in fact, it's easier to do well in it than in the other languages. And it's very
And that's not
reason.
Just down to there being more people doing it, no?
No. I'll tell you why it's easier. Because in Irish, you will study poetry and you will study, say, prose. So you're going into the exam with a certain amount of material that is covered and that you will know. You may not know it very well, but you still know it. But if you're going into the other content languages, everything is unseen. So in other words, what I even see in my own students is I find an awful lot of my own students who are taking higher level Irish in the Leaving Cert, but they will take ordinary level, say, French or ordinary level German, because everything in those other languages is unseen. They can't really prepare anything definite before they go into the exam.
Regardless of the standard that you have to attain at Leaving Cert, should it still be compulsory on a point of principle?
Yes, I think it does. I think it should be. I'll tell you why. Because in Germany, they have to study German. In France, they must study French.
But it's their
in
first Ireland, language in both of those
is,
countries.
It is, but they're agreed. But in other words, if we were to let her go, whatever about it not even being our first language, it would cease to be a language in this country entirely. Yes, I really do think. I mean, it got official recognition in 2005. We have all our documents in Irish and English. I still think, yes, it should be. But I do feel that, yes, if a student has a problem or is dyslexic, they should be given an exemption in every language, not just solely Irish.
President Michael D. Higgins, who speaks the most beautiful, eloquent, flowing Irish, said himself not that long ago when he was asked about the issue of whether it should be compulsory or not, "I'm in favour of bringing people to the language rather than forcing it. Compulsion is killing the language," he was saying.
Yes, I know that. I mean, what's killing some of them, you know, sometimes what can kill a language is how it is taught. That's it. You know, if a person...
But you're saying
teacher,
that's all changed.
Well, I'm saying that the course...
The syllabus has changed.
The syllabus. The syllabus now in the Leaving Cert is more enjoyable. I mean, they have a film, they can watch a film, there are little plays. The only area the extra blind I would have as a teacher would be that in the oral examination, it is very, very onerous. They have 20 picture sequences to study as opposed to, say, in German, where they have 55 role plays.
Stay on the line there, Claire. I want to get another perspective on the way that it is being taught. Maura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you?
Very good. You think that the language is taught badly?
I only heard a little bit. That's the teacher speaking to you there.
It is. That's Claire who teaches in the Institute of Education. But your own view is that you think that the language is taught badly.
It is. It's taught badly. Now, I'd like to ask... listen, I speak Spanish, but I would love to ask the teacher... Is there such a thing as an alphabet in Irish, you know, when you're learning Irish? Like, I know it's far easier to learn another language than it is Irish. For a simple reason, you go to a language shop, you buy a book, okay? Like beginner's book. You with me?
Mm.
Well, first thing is in that it's the alphabet. So you write down the alphabet in the language that you're doing, say Spanish, and you write it, the English one right beside it. So therefore, you're able to see is it you know, what's the difference between both languages?
And what about the way that the rest of the syllabus is taught, Maura? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, in Irish, you mean?
Yes. I mean, the points that Claire was making there about the kids being able to have... she's making the point that when it comes to the literature that they study in Irish, they have sight of it beforehand. It's not that their memories are being tested in the same way. It is their versatility with the language that's being tested.
I wouldn't know.
Well, let's bring in Martin then. 1-8-5-7-1-5-8-1-5. Martin, good afternoon. You don't think it should be compulsory?
I don't, Philip. I heard somebody make a point recently on a different station and it really resonated with me. And I do understand that, you know, the Irish language helps to define us as a nation and it's part of our heritage and our culture. That said, I've had a daughter finish her Leaving Cert, did reasonably okay, and hasn't uttered a word ever since. Somebody made the point recently, Philip, that what about making it a living language by making it a conversational language when you join a primary school? You sit down and you learn through Irish, or you speak Irish in a conversational way, and only when you get to secondary school, perhaps then if you have an aptitude for it, you take it as a Leaving Cert language. But in the meantime, you've got the foundations done and none of the heartache.
Because I suppose anything that most people learn before the ages of 11 or 12, they forget pretty easily and fairly quickly. That, you know, you would not emerge from the school system with any kind of fluency in the language if you haven't been doing it since you were in national school.
But no, sorry, just to clarify, if it's used through the primary system, through the primary education system, just as a conversational thing, it does become rooted, I think, or possibly could become rooted. The one thing we know, Philip, is the current method of teaching doesn't endear it to anybody, pupils or parents.
How much do you seriously remember about what you learned when you were back in sixth class?
I couldn't even begin. I could remember... Very, very basic.
So doesn't that mean that your argument kind of ends there, that if kids are going to study conversational Irish right throughout national school, they're not going to still have it when the time that they reach adulthood?
The fact is, look, we didn't actually study conversational Irish when I was in national school. We studied Irish as a subject, a written subject, and all of the the issues that, that, well, the perceived issues that, that came with that. I'm just simply saying, as a conversational subject, it should be a conversational language to give it a route, to give it some traction, and to take the fear factor away.
OK, 1-8-5-7-1-5-8-1-5. Mike, it's a dead language, you say?
Yes, in the sense that it's not used really outside of Ireland, perhaps maybe sometimes in Europe by MEPs that want to display their knowledge of our language. Of course, we should have pride in
our language. But Laotian isn't spoken outside of Laos, and I'm pretty sure that that would go for the vast majority of 190 national languages around the world. The measure of the vibrancy of a language isn't how many countries it's spoken in, is it?
No, I think it's about communication. Isn't that what language is about, to be able to communicate with people?
It's about an expression of culture and identity as well, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but I taught myself Spanish and German, and when I was in school, I was told I was stupid at Irish. So it has no bearing on your ability to learn other languages whatsoever. So I support pupils that want to be exempt from learning it, and choose to learn another European language that's possibly, like Spanish, more useful.
Mike, is the root of your problem that it was badly taught, that you didn't have a good teacher? I mean, any teacher who tells a pupil that they are stupid at a subject is not a good teacher.
Well, I didn't believe I was stupid. Like, I knew that they really had no interest in me as a person or as a student. It was more a kind of forced learning. You can take back control yourself as you get older and do things that you're capable of that you were told you weren't capable of.
Let's see if we can clear your line up a little bit, Mike. It's coming in and out there. Pauline, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
You think that it's important that people still can get exemptions?
Yes, it's very, very important. But it shouldn't be looked upon as a negative thing to get an exemption from Irish. There should be an absolutely positive turn put on this. You see, what people need to understand is languages have a particular depth. You know, what you see is what you get up to a point. And English is our environmental language here, and Irish is spoken by a minority of people. So the vast majority of pupils develop their reading acquisition skills with English. And if they are simultaneously learning Irish, the two systems, the two phonological systems, the sound system of each language cuts across each other and confuses the child, causing huge anxiety. And the way around that is to take a break from one of the languages in order to gain mastery of the other.
So only one at a time, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying one at a time. And I'm talking about children who have a disability. The disability being a difficulty with learning language, which that's one of the difficulties of dyslexia, for instance, or specific learning difficulties.
What other reasons should people be given exemptions, though?
I think if children have complex learning difficulties, for instance, if they have a specific speech and language disorder, that is a disorder in their mother tongue. They should not be doing Irish, because they will never learn their mother tongue properly then. If they have, in my view, if they have other conditions, what they call co-occurring conditions, like it could be autistic spectrum disorder, or it could be anxiety disorder.
All right, so you would want them certified by a psychologist or by, at the very least, an educator?
Well, yes. I think it is important that they would have very, very specific and expert diagnosis to help them with this. You see, when children have difficulties, the teacher is at the coalface. The teacher is dealing with a very large number of children, and they don't always have the skills to pick up, for instance, dyspraxia or dysgraphia.
Pauline, you have obviously got an awful lot of experience here. Are you an educator yourself?
Can you say that again?
Are you an educator or a teacher yourself?
I have been and done 7 different university degrees. I started off primary
7.
Teaching. I was secondary teaching. I did special education. I have 2 degrees in psychology and a degree in neurology. And all of them chasing up what causes literacy difficulties in children and learning difficulties in children, and what compromises literacy acquisition.
Well, then, can you tell us how it is that the department thinks that 3,800 people do merit exemptions, but 60% of them go on to do another language?
There is no puzzle or dilemma about that whatsoever, because when children get an exemption from Irish, the exemption is given to allow them the time to gain mastery in their first language. And then, if they decide when they go into secondary school that they're going to do a language, they do it simply because they're speaking from a position of a degree of mastery of their first tongue, of their first language. And then there is something to be considered, and that is called the transparency of the language that they're going to study. And there is a grade of transparency across European languages and world languages.
Okay.
The most transparent European language that exists is Finnish. What you see is absolutely what you get. The next one on the grade is Czech.
Okay.
Czech is very transparent.
Right, let me bring in some other voices here. 1-850-715-815. Heather, your child is dyslexic. What exemptions have you looked for?
Well, my child is now actually in university, but my experience, and I've never heard this discussed on the radio in relation to dyslexia in the Irish language, was that I actually would have liked her to at least have had an opportunity to try Irish in secondary school. And she wanted the opportunity as well. But here, the problem was...
What level was her Irish when she came out of national school?
She was actually... Roisin was actually very good at picking up the sounds of languages. So she wasn't very good at spelling, or she wasn't very good at grammar, but she loved singing the songs in Irish, and she loved the sounds in the language. So she was always very good at hearing sounds and being able to replicate them. But when it came to writing, there was a difficulty. But when she went to secondary school, it was made very clear to me that the resource classes that she needed, because she was dyslexic, were actually scheduled for when the Irish classes would have been held. So I had an option. She could either do Irish or have resource classes, and she needed resource classes. So, I mean, I sort of said, is this actually
And did she get to do any other language, Heather?
Yeah, because the other languages, it doesn't matter. They are not scheduled with, she did French, and she was put down for German. She got in the kind of lottery. She couldn't do both of those, but in a couple of months, she had to drop the French.
So it was as simple as a scheduling class clash.
And my understanding is that happens generally, that if you have a child who has a problem and needs resource classes, those resource classes, because of a timetabling issue around schools, are generally scheduled when the Irish classes take place, because most parents will take the opportunity to drop Irish. So the most practical and easiest thing to do is scheduled resource classes during the classes that would have been that the other children are taking the Irish class.
Okay, so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy after a while, that because the school assumes most are going to drop Irish, they put on the resource class to clash with Irish, so most end up dropping
absolutely.
Irish.
Absolutely, yes. So let's say for those people in my situation who actually I would at least have liked her to, have... maybe a year of it, see how we got on. That if for her to do that would have meant no resource class in first year, and I couldn't do that to her, it wouldn't have been fair. I think I rang Gwaelin at the time and said, are you aware that the schools are doing this, that actually that it becomes an issue that actually you can't you can't actually have, on a practical basis,
if
your child needs resource classes, they can't do Irish.
And what did they say?
I mean, on a point of principle,
what did they say?
They said they could understand why schools were doing that. The person I spoke to said that, and I could as well. I mean, I know schools are trying to timetable things and schedule things, but it just meant that actually she just didn't have the option to take Irish. And I think that's just, or she did. But it was a choice between that and resource classes.
All right, stay on the line there, Heather. Hang on a second. 1-850-715-815. Eoin, how are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having us on.
What did you want to say?
I suppose what I'm frustrated listening to some of your listeners there saying about it. It's a dead language. There's no opportunities. And there's nowhere to use it. I speak Irish all the time, and I speak to a lot of my friends. And I suppose I remember when I was in school, a lot of my dyslexic friends they wanted to do Irish, but I always found it was their parents that was pushing them to get an exemption because of their own feelings about the language when they were in school. And a lot of your listeners, with a lot of people who are speaking there, with the greatest respect to them, they're talking about their experiences when they were in school. But Irish has changed so much in the last 10 years, in the last 20 years. Now 50% or up to 50% of the marks go on the oral and the aural parts of the language, which actually makes it easier for dyslexic students. And it's such a pity that some parents, and the figures have grown doubled in the last 10 years, some parents are just excluding their students straight away and giving them a disadvantage by not giving them that the opportunity to learn our own language.
Okay, but what about the argument that, look, Johnny comes from a family that has absolutely no affinity to the language whatsoever. They're never going to use it. This is his education. He should be able to pick and choose which subjects are best going to fit him up for life.
Well, at the end of the day, I believe strongly that we should give every child in our country a basis of having our own national language, where Ireland, I said in my text there, we're lucky to have...
But that's my point, Aon. You believe that. Johnny and Johnny's family don't. Why should they have to educate Johnny according to your beliefs?
Because as a country, it's a huge part of our culture and who we are. And we should, according to our constitution and everything else, we have a national language. We should give everyone up to the age of 18 a basis in that language. They can decide when they leave school whether they want to continue on using the language. I've decided to keep on using it myself.
I know, but that was a government policy that was introduced in 1934 when the government was trying to make make Irish the national language as a point of cultural and political opposition to the United Kingdom. We've moved on a good bit since then, and we recognise the advantages that speaking English as a first language confers on us.
But there's so much advantages now to speaking Irish, and there's so many jobs available. Not just one, and I heard people there talking about that there's no opportunities. There's so much more jobs available, not just being a teacher or working with the guards. Now there's tech companies that are looking for people with Irish. There's so many jobs going in the European Union for translators, for lawyer linguists, for different jobs, and there's so many opportunities. They're crying out for people with Irish in different jobs. And I've been lucky enough to get lots of different types of employment just because I speak Irish. So we should look at it as an advantage that learning Irish and learning a second language, and if we teach it properly, especially at primary level, from the very start, doing different subjects like PE through Irish or Art through Irish, and making it more of a spoken language, that would give a lot more opportunities for people in later life to learn a third language and a fourth language, because learning languages at a younger age assists with learning further languages.
Hey, Heather, did I hear you trying to get back in there?
Pauline, sorry,
I heard you trying to get back in.
I think there is a very simple solution to this whole thing, and it is about, the solution is around the idea of teaching written Irish far too early. You could keep the two languages going, Irish at the oral level, when children are dyslexic and trying to master English. You could keep Irish going at the oral level, and we have a very, very rich bank of songs and poetry and stuff, and they could learn that at the oral level and start the teaching of Irish grammar much, much later, well into secondary school. I think that's what the solution is to this whole thing. You could have the two languages going, but Irish only at the oral level. And I think you would satisfy many, many people.
I'd say INTO members right now are cheering you from the rafters, and ASTI members are saying, damn you, Pauline, for such a suggestion. Right, I'm going to have to take a break because I'm afraid my computer screen has been dead since the beginning of the programme and I don't have a clue who is and isn't still on the line. So we're going to sort that out, hopefully, during the course of this ad break. We'll come back to it after that.
5815.
Gráinne, good afternoon.
Hello, Philip, how are you?
You've reluctantly taken an exemption in Irish for your son.
Yes, I have a 9-year-old son who was recently diagnosed, and you know, we were advised that he could get an exemption from Irish. We hadn't intended to, you know, to run with it straight away. We knew we could use it in the future if we, you know, felt it was necessary. But in fact, we're very reluctantly taking a step back or taking that exemption, you know, earlier than we intended. Now, we would both be very pro-Irish. My mum grew up in the Gaeltacht. You know, we're very fond of the Irish language, and, you know, I would still hope that you know, he might get some exposure to spoken Irish. I love Pauline's idea of, you know, emphasising the, you know, spoken language rather than written language. But really what was happening with us was that, you know, he was spending so much time, you know, on Irish, you know, trying to get Irish spellings right and so on, doing Irish homework and failing. And at the, you know,
and his basic English literacy was suffering.
And
was
his English literacy was yeah, definitely. But at the same time, I would be very hopeful that he would be able to study a foreign language when he goes to secondary school. And the reason is that not all languages are equal. Now, maybe somebody has made this point before.
No,
but,
go on.
You know, languages can be kind of classified as, from what I've read anyway, you know, that some languages are quite transparent. So in other words, how it's written on the page is how you speak it, and there's not very much irregularity to it. In other words, it's a very regular language. So Italian and Spanish would fall into that category, whereas, you know, Irish and English absolutely do not fall into that category. It's a much, much more difficult language. Okay.
It was the point that Pauline was making, actually. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
What you're saying. So, but let me bring in another voice here. Tom, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
You don't believe that there should be exemptions for dyslexia?
I don't think dyslexia is Hiberno-specific, you know, it's you're dyslexic or you're not, you know, so I think that's out the window, you know. What I did want to say is...
No, hang on, I mean, listen to Grania's problem with her 9-year-old son. She said that, you know, something had to go somewhere along the line because he was having to put so much extra effort into getting his basic English literacy.
Fair enough, but why shouldn't English go then, you know?
Grania, why shouldn't English go?
I don't even think I need to answer that. I think your listeners can answer that for themselves.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he doesn't get a good grasp of written English at this crucial stage, then he's going to be, you know, unable to keep up in any other subject for the rest of his career.
The choice then is that you're choosing English as the primary language. That's fair enough. But to rule out Irish and then say you can take another European language, I think is not on your part, but on the part of some of the others, I think a bit disingenuous.
But what about what I was saying? Actually, there's two things going on. One, as I said, is that not all languages are equal. But the second thing is that any child who's had to take an exemption primary level at the age that my son has, he would be playing catch up then. He would be starting at a disadvantage. So as well as being disadvantaged in terms of that he has dyslexia, he would be a couple of years behind his peers. Whereas if he starts a new language, he is starting with a level playing pitch. And I feel really that people, it's almost as if these kids would be punished for taking an exemption in Irish in primary school by not being permitted by public opinion to take another language in secondary school. Well, it's like, well, you didn't bother doing it in primary school, so don't think you can come along and do another language in secondary school, even though there is every bit of evidence educationally that it is possible to master a second language when you get, you know, if you're dyslexic and you get in, you know, at the stage when you're in secondary school.
But yeah, but why are you knocking out Irish as the first sort of victim or thing to go?
Because of what I just said before that, because other languages, Italian, Spanish,
they're more phrenetic, I know what you mean.
Starting on a level playing pitch.
We also heard from other callers there, Tom, it is the system itself that does that. By putting resource teaching...
My proficiency in Irish is very low, but I love when it's nicely spoken, when you hear, you know, Connemara kids speaking it, or you see lovely place names and you work out the meaning of them and things like that. But official Ireland is really, really failing Irish. The standard of Irish that you see written on street nameplates, on signs around the place, the pronunciation of Irish in RTE is abysmal. We've Seachtain na Gaeilge once a year, and I'm saying, we just forget Seachtain na Gaeilge, and the government just put up signs that are correct in places, you know, and then local authorities and things
like that. You're demanding a level of Irish of everybody else that you don't have yourself, Tom.
Well, I, at the very least, I would expect it from civil servants who are checked or examined in their proficiency of Irish when they come in the first place. There's a shopping centre near me up in Ballyogan, and there's a sign that I think is meant to say look right, and it says Féach Ar Ceart.
Well, I could be telling you to look correct.
Look correct, yeah. No. Somebody put that up, and somebody else said, that's grand, and walked away. And we're supposed to take Irish seriously. all we get is English words with a few shavas and funny consonants in front of them, you know.
1-850-715-815. Julian Despond, does Tom make a point that you agree with there?
Well, I find that very much we've got to look at the way we teach Irish, and I think that's coming across, I think, from all the people you've had on today. And one of the things we'd say is when it comes to exemptions, the reason why the exemptions are there or they're increasing very much is because the system isn't catering or isn't trying to cater for the ability of the students. So we've had it. I've been in touch with, I don't know how many teachers and headmasters have been in touch with me telling me about how they've had dyslexic students that would have loved to continue doing Irish, but they couldn't because of the system that's in place at the moment. So, for example, what we've been saying is let's look to our European neighbours. I mean, if we want to learn how to teach languages better, well, I mean, they excel in language learning, and that's what we should do. So one basic thing we could do is that we could tie the learning of languages in all languages, but we're talking about Irish here, to the European Common Framework of Learning Languages, which basically looks at the skills of students. So you can be able to examine the oral ability of a student. If they're not very good at writing because of whatever learning difficulty they have, well, then maybe they have an exemption from the writing and they could excel in the speaking of Irish. And wouldn't that be great for them that they'd be taking part in the classes that are in the schools and they wouldn't be excluded? And the more we exclude students in classes, I think the worse it will be for the environment that they have. And I think
What's the problem with the way it's taught, Julian?
Well, I suppose one of the things is that we don't communicate enough. So if we were, for example, in primary schools, and let's look at where the best example this was. Okay, I said Europe already. Look at the Irish colleges and the Gaelic school. Why do they excel? It's because it's the medium that they're taught in. So why in English medium schools could we not do PE or drama or arts through Irish, where the kids would have a ball, they'd really enjoy using Irish in a fun atmosphere. They've actually started doing this in Cork. A group called Gaeltacht have done it with 20 schools, and it's amazing the results that are coming through.
And what subjects do they teach Irish through?
They're doing PE through Irish. But what's actually transferred from that, they've been telling me that the teachers who are doing it have been telling me that when it comes to teaching Irish, they're so engaged. But not only that, some of them have started using Irish while they teach math, while they teach the other subjects. So, you know, if you do it, that's why if we can change the system, it won't happen overnight, but let's change the system.
That is a brilliant idea, absolutely brilliant idea. 1-850-715-815. Paul Nangle, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
You're anti-compulsory Irish.
I suppose I am anti-compulsory Irish, very pro-Irish, and I'm very positive about teaching Irish in schools, but somehow I always feel that it's associated, you know, English speaking is associated with not being fully Irish or true Irish, and I really do not agree with that in any way. I think the English-speaking Irish people are just as Irish as the Gaelic-speaking Irish people, and that should be recognised. It seems to be, in our liberal country that appreciates diversity, the only people that don't benefit from it are the English-speaking Irish people. Like, we're no less Irish because we speak English. Neither are Canadians, neither are people from the States or Australia or whatever.
No, of course not. People arrive here and gain citizenship and they still speak Mandarin as well as English and Irish. They're no less Irish than somebody who speaks Irish and English. But why are you anti-compulsory Irish specifically?
Because the parent in Ireland is the prime educator, and that's written into our constitution. And I feel that there should be a choice given to the parent as to whether their child speaks Irish or not. It shouldn't be up to a government department to make that decision on behalf of the parent. Simple as that.
But if we don't do it across the board, if we don't introduce some level of compulsion into the system, there's a very significant, I'd say, frankly, a crucial part of our identity and our distinct separateness that will fade, that'll go.
I don't believe that. I think that you can't keep a language alive by forcing it on people who don't want to speak it. I think Irish is fantastic. I think people who are interested in it get great pleasure from it, and I'd like to see that continue. I've no anti-Irish in any way.
Okay, so do you think that people, that parents should not have to put down a disability, they shouldn't have to have a child that has dyslexia or whatever kind of learning difficulties, they should just be able to apply for an exemption on the grounds that I don't like Irish?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. I think the parent is the prime teacher, and I think they should have a choice in whether their child learns Irish or not. We're all a melting pot here in Ireland. You know, it's never given credit that we have Viking blood. The Vikings were never expelled from Ireland, as our history would teach us. Dublin City was forever a Viking city. Brian Boru didn't take it, if you want to go back into history. Or Waterford. They were never Gaelic-speaking cities. They were actually taken by the Normans, then later on the Gaels. Never had a role in Dublin City. So I think that we have to acknowledge our history. And I don't think we are when we force proportions of the population to speak Gaelic.
Julian?
I mentioned a few things. First, if you look at what's happened in other countries as well. So in England, for example, they got rid of the requirement to learn a second language. And all of a sudden, the amount of people who dropped to only about 40% of the population in their schools learn a second language. And the schools that are still teaching it as mandatory in those schools are the higher class or the well-to-do schools. So to become a class system in England now is to learn the language. And I think we want to avoid that completely. I think the benefits we get from learning language is amazing, and that's one of the main things we don't do in the schools either. If we were to do that from day one, from preschool onto primary school onto secondary school, tell the students why they're learning languages. I was never told why when I was in school, but the benefits, not only the cultural benefits, and you've outlined a few of them there in terms of a greater understanding of the world around you. But there's also huge job opportunities for people who have Irish. And it's not just the TG Cahir or the teaching. There's also many things, like when it comes to, in Europe now, it's recognised one of the languages there. And with Brexit coming along now, there's going to be an awful lot of people needed from Ireland working out there. You've also got need for doctors, lawyers, et cetera, of people with Irish now. There's huge job opportunities. Apart from that as well, I mean, there's the cognitive benefits. When you have two languages, the third one's easier to learn. You're also better at problem solving. So the benefits for our children in the schools is immense. Okay. I think that's what we should be looking towards. Let's change the system, fix it. That's what they did with Project Maths. There was a problem with the teaching of maths. They brought in Project Maths. They didn't bring in an exemption system. They brought in a way of fixing it. Let's fix it so we can include more people and that there won't be as much of a need for the exemptions in the future.
Indeed. Fix the problem. Don't Brexit, I suppose, is what you're saying, isn't it? Julian, Paul, Claire, Pauline, Gráinne, Tom, thank you, everybody. I'm going to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850. To Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, back to exemptions from learning a compulsory Irish, particularly for those with dyslexia. Here's a call I didn't expect to receive. Austin Connell, good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad, Philip. How are you?
You are dyslexic,
yes,
and you're
I
against
am.
Exemptions.
I am. I would have been, I don't know how severe my dyslexia is on the measuring scale, but 3, 5, A, C, and S are my primary issues. I don't write them, I don't see them. So, but,
so 3, 5,
8, E, and S.
E and S, okay.
Yeah.
So the absence of X, Y, and Z from the Irish alphabet was of no advantage to you?
Well, it was in that there were fewer letters to make mistakes with. And that was when I was about 5, I remember this being said to my mother. So I did quite a lot through Irish. But at the time, which wasn't today nor yesterday, there was much more emphasis on Irish grammar. And the Irish grammar was wonderfully useful. I went on to do postgraduate French in France.
So having the extra language was of an advantage to you?
Huge, huge advantage. And gave me advantages over, I was in the class with other people of other nationalities. Gave me no advantages over the Argentinians, the French, the Spanish, but certainly over people who were from the school system in the UK.
Of course,
yeah.
But did it not give you a disadvantage in the early stage trying to get your English literacy and writing up to speed?
I don't remember, but I don't think so, because school was taught differently then. I mean, I was doing English, Irish, French and Latin at the same time, and exemptions hadn't been heard of. You know, it was just a question of knocking down, and it Yeah, there were some issues with it. Exams in the afternoon were always worse than exams in the morning because I was tired, couldn't concentrate as well. But I've ended up as a university lecturer at one stage, and I've two masters in computing and one in economics. So, you know,
you didn't do too badly at all. All right, I
know,
understand.
I screw up all the statistics, but that being said, I don't believe that blanket exemptions are the. I think there has to be another way because you lose so much. And I'm thinking back from what I was listening to was that.
But I don't think there are blanket exemptions. I mean, I do think that they are. There's an individual assessment.
Yes, but the I think that losing the grammatical structure of a language, because English is, I think, just strangely unique, and it doesn't really have the regular, the irregular verbs, the kind of preceding direct objects, the kind of following of other things that you have in other languages. And Irish gave me a huge advantage in following things, certainly in following logical thought through academic papers.
Mm. Okay, hang on. Let's get another perspective on this. Deirdre, you're also dyslexic.
Yeah, although I didn't realise I was dyslexic till I was in my 20s. I'm 51 now. There was no such thing really as dyslexia when I went to school. And I would have struggled an awful lot in primary school. And I think Irish did add to it, but not... My crib is really how it's taught, but I move on 20 years on and I have my own child in school and he was diagnosed at 7 or 8 with dyslexia. And I've lived in Italy, so I'm fluent in Italian.
Deirdre?
I worked as a nurse over in Italy and I was well able to write reports. Italian is particularly easy. In fact, my English spelling, I think, improved quite significantly once I learned Italian because it's much more of a phonetical language. I was able to put the two together and it improved my English spelling. But
the moment at which you realised or you were diagnosed as having dyslexia, how did it go undiagnosed for so long? And then what was the light bulb moment?
There was no such thing back then. And I remember sending emails to my brother and I lived in Italy, my father would circle. It was back in the time when there was no such thing as mobile phones and internet and that. So we used to write home quite a bit. And my father would circle the bad spelling and correct it and send it back in the next letter returned from home.
Certainly,
my siblings, a lot of them...
To his adult daughter, sorry, what age were you?
To his adult daughter, 2021, if he's listening now, thanks, Dad. He doesn't even remember doing it now. He's in his 80s. But my father could never understand when I was a child. I had a brother who's a near photographic memory and he could spell anything. So I was a year older and I wrote all my English essays and history essays with Donna, how do you spell this? Donna, how do you spell that? And my father would be given out to make her look it up in the dictionary. I couldn't look. I remember the word church and telling me to look it up in the dictionary. I didn't know if church began with an R or a K. A CH never occurred to me. An SH. It was an issue with phonics. I couldn't figure out what it even started with. But my own son...
just before you go on to your own son, were there letters, were there specific letters that you were writing backwards at any stage?
I wrote, I wrote completely. I'm left-handed. I wrote back to front when I started in all letters. I used to write the opposite way to the teacher had it on the board. But none of that was picked up at that age because I don't think that would have been back in the 70s. I don't think dyslexia was known about in normal national Irish, normal schools in Ireland.
And you went the way through secondary school and nobody picked up on it at any stage.
Secondary school, no, I don't think it was still really diagnosed in secondary school. But what I would have had in secondary school is I would have excelled in a lot of subjects. I mean, I would have gotten B's in my leaving cert in honours history and honours English, despite not being able to spell. But I would have gotten a D in Pass Irish that I'd been studying for 14 years. So the difference in the subject Irish, which I'd been learning for so many, just could not master it.
Would it have been A's in every subject if you hadn't
B's
had to...
and C's.
No, but if you hadn't had to learn Irish, Deirdre?
Well, what I often think is if I didn't have to learn Irish and I could have taken another subject instead, you know, that other subject would have given me a lot higher points. I did French as well because the language was considered compulsory at the time and I got, I got a C in Pass French and every other subject I did was honours.
Isn't that mad that you're getting good honours results in European languages and then the one that
I got a C in past French.
Okay, sorry.
I wasn't doing well in languages at all, but I was doing
But you did better in French than you did in the language that you've been learning for 14 years.
For 14 years. But I was certainly doing a lot better in history and biology and chemistry and English.
But was that a comment on the way that Irish was taught in your school?
I think it was a difficulty with learning a language in a setting where you're learning a language without speaking it. I then went to Italy when I was 21 and I worked in a hospital initially. I hadn't a word of Italian and I wanted to work in A&E. And none of us Irish nurses, they were in the crisis we are in at the minute, not able to recruit.
Deirdre, how did you get a job in a hospital not speaking the local language?
Well, we'll probably do that shortly here in Ireland.
We might. I hope it doesn't come to that. But my God.
But they were desperate for nurses and they would have taken us with no arms or legs, I'd say, just to fill spaces. They were so desperate.
Was there ever a moment that you might not have been providing the best duty of care to your patients?
Well, I went around with a dictionary in one pocket and, going around asking. And anyway, there was more guesswork than anything else initially. But because we were completely integrated into the language, nobody was there to translate for us. We learnt the Italian language very, very quickly. And learnt it well. I wrote reports in Italian. We went out there in April. I was left in charge of wards by August. And by we weren't allowed work in A&E till you'd a certain fluency. And so, out of the 10 or 11 nurses I went to Italy with, far more of them better at languages than me, I was the first in A&E because my level of Italian was good enough to go into A&E.
Well done, fair play to you. Okay. Let me bring in some other voices here. 1-850-715-815. Trasa de Burka, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. I'm fine, thank you.
What point did you want to make?
My point was that children should be exposed to as many languages as possible from a very early age. You know, they do it on the continent. We have this thing that a second language is going to confuse the child, no matter what learning difficulties. I think that they should forget about the spoken Gaelic and the spelling. Just teach children how to play from a small age. As one who got married in 69-70, resurrected my own Irish and my late husband's Irish, both of whom were very rusty. But we resurrected our Irish. I had a dictionary like that lady, but I had it when I was washing the baby. I didn't know the word for suds or for a tap.
Right.
I learned Tá Teddy ag re, Tá Teddy in a he, that kind of thing. Anyway, went on from there and ran a play school for 12 years, and that's when I discovered. But I discovered it my own. I remember one day, my youngest, at four, had one foot on the steps of the back door, and she looked out, and there were young lads playing at the back, and a ball hopped into our garden, and she thought it belonged to her brother. And she said, "That's my brother's ball." And she turned round, swiveled, it's the first time I noticed it, and she said, "Mammy, tana bukali ag togantli road, so-and-so." And I thought to myself, she's not three yet, and here she is.
And, and she had picked that up with you doing your dictionary Irish. And
well, we spoke Irish all the time with our children.
You did. All right. Sorry, I got the impression that as you were starting rearing children, you started your Irish again. But obviously, it was better than that. Okay.
Well, I liked Irish. I have to admit, I liked Irish at school.
Anyway, you're not the first person to suggest today that if we were to get rid of the grammar and we were to get rid of all of the heavy-duty rote learning of vocab and just made it about singing and about poetry and about conversing with your classmates at national school level anyway, that it might do an awful lot more for people's affection for the language.
Yes. I recall doing play school, you know, that you start in September. And for Christmas, we'll say early, just before Christmas, I would have had a play. And a mother came in with a new baby. I remember the children all swarmed around the baby. And I spoke to the children in Irish, the parents in English. And I asked the children to move back, to leave the baby space and air. And parents couldn't get over how the children knew what I was saying. They were only in from September. They couldn't answer me, but they understood the message.
Okay. Let me bring in Breege here, 1-850-715-815. Breege, you do speak Irish yourself, but you think that there should be more exemptions?
I do. I think there should, other circumstances should be taken into account. My story is that my grandson, as a toddler, the family moved to Germany because my son's job moved there. So they went to school in Germany for 6 years, and moved back last January back to Galway, and everybody was delighted. And my grandson was 10 and a half, so he didn't make the age 11 cut-off point for getting an exemption in Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I speak Irish. My son does too. We love Irish. And my grandson has no clue what is going on in the class because he missed 6 years of basic Irish. And I think the age cut-off point is a bit ridiculous.
A little bit too old. And as the future of work becomes so much more mobile and people are going to be coming and going from the island all the time in order to pursue work, maybe the exemptions list, the reasons why needs to be broadened or widened a little bit.
Okay. I think so. I agree, because as I said, we're a family that love Irish. All of my kids speak Irish. They speak other languages as well. And this little boy speaks German fluently. And he had all that trauma of learning, going to school in Germany, didn't know what anybody was talking about, but he mastered it. But they're talking of changing the cut-off point to 12, but he'll miss that too. Because he's 11 and a half now, and by the time they do that...
I know. And nobody's school experience should be about being made to feel stupid or made to feel excluded just because
exactly
you can't do what everybody else in the class
point,
is doing.
Philip, that's
all right.
Exactly it.
Breed, yeah. Thank you very much for your call. I've got to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. It's 1950.